that the first impulse in your heart when somebody talks about a need that can be met is reluctance. It shows me that you don't get the gospel. Jesus didn't die for you because he had to. It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising his shame. What was the joy set before Jesus? It was you. I love to bring the tithe because not only does it help me to honor God and never forget that every breath I have is borrowed, but I also love to bring the tithe because I see the ministry right in front of my own eyes that I'm able to have just through a simple act of obedience. There's really no greater privilege that I have than to bring the tithe. Notice I'm saying bring the tithe, not give the tithe. Because when God commands you to do something, or let's say it this way, if I give you a pen and then ask you to give it back, you're not really giving it as much as you're bringing it back to the one who put it in your hands to begin with. So I love to talk about bringing the tithe. Some preachers don't like talking about this. I guess they're intimidated or scared they're going to make somebody mad. I just kind of figure, you know, if I'm going to be scared of anybody, it's going to be of God for not teaching what he wants me to teach, and not people because of what they think about what God told me to teach. That's the way I do it. And I know what great results this will work in your life. So many people are struggling in their marriages and in their lives because of a warped view of resources that God has given. And because nobody has ever accurately shown them what God says about it. We want to change some of that today. Because God has made some promises to people who will bring the tithe. To people who will commit in their hearts and say, everything that I have comes from God. And I'm going to take that first portion of everything that he puts in my hands and bring it back to him. God says some pretty awesome things. He says in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, bring the whole tithe. What does tithe mean? Yep. Tenth. They even kind of sound alike. It'll help you remember. Was it 2%? No, it was 10, because tenth and tithe. And I heard somebody say to me one time, I'm tithing 3% of my income. You can't tenth 3% of your income. Math major. Public school educated, just like many of you, but I got that one. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is God speaking. He says, test me in this. The only time in the scriptures where you'll ever see God telling us to test him. It's like he knows that this one part of our lives tends to have control over us. And he says, I want to invite you to see if you do it my way, if I won't work it out. So test me in this and see. Test me and see. See if I will not. This sounds like something I say to my kids. See if I won't. I usually say it in a negative sense, you know, do that again and see if I won't take your video games for 16 months and see if I will not throw open. Now you see where I'm getting this idea of open source. He said, I'll throw open. God is the source. He said, I'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about blessings that money can't buy. That there will not be room enough to store it. God says, see if I won't. See if I won't do it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. And then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Everybody shout more.
More.
So I want to talk for a few moments. If my father, who was a very limited resource, being just a man with his own issues, if my father could say something as bold as, if I have money, you have money, what must the God of heaven want to say to his sons and daughters today? There's more where that came from. And I just want to give you four questions to ask yourself to see if you have a more mindset or what we call a scarcity mindset. And shifting over is as simple as a decision, but it's a process as well. So let me work this teaching screen a little bit. I always like having this, makes me feel smarter. First thing I want to ask you, please write these down. It'll give you something to discuss at home or to pray over when you leave. It is always good to write it down. Always. You never know when you might find it 6 months from now. That's exactly what I needed. I'm so glad I wrote it down. I want to ask you, do you see yourself as entrusted or entitled? Characteristics of a more mindset. People with a more mindset who live under an open heaven where the provision of God is not just a proposition or a philosophy, but it is a practical reality. They see themselves as entrusted, not entitled. There's nothing I hate more, and I think God is with me, than an entitlement mentality. Amen from a parent. There's nothing I hate more than somebody who forgets where they got it from. And I want to give a big shout out to the big man upstairs, Wade Joy. He's in the video room today. For giving me this idea. We were spending some time. We went back to Shelby, North Carolina, where our core team was originally launched. And we wanted to get back to the source as we're looking forward into the future, you know, not forgetting where we come from. And Wade did a devotion. It rocked me because he said, I've been asking the question lately, am I leading in ministry like one who is entrusted or one who is entitled? Well, he was only supposed to share for 5 minutes and he quit after 5 minutes, but I took it another 30 because I said, well, what's the difference? And we had a discussion. We said, if you're entrusted or if you're entitled, and it's amazing how those two different viewpoints will affect the way you approach anything in your life. And we started talking about how people who are entitled don't really say thank you for much. And people who are entitled don't show up early and stay late. I think you're lucky to have them if they show up at all. People who are entitled, they'll do what you tell them to do, but not anything more. They never go beyond. People who are entitled. But people who are entrusted are a little different. People who see everything that they have as coming from somewhere beyond themselves live a little differently. One person said, you got to decide, am I an owner or a steward? Is it mine or did it come from a different source? I used an illustration one time. I won't do it like I did. This was years ago. I got in trouble for it because I shared about how my brother-in-law went off to Uganda to be a missionary. And while he left, he gave me power of attorney. And in the illustration, I really had the people going because I talked about how he gave me all of his checks and all of his bills and he let me write his checks for him while I was gone. Well, what I did in the illustration is I pretended like money got a little short for me and Holly and I started paying some of my bills out of his account. And I strung the people along for about 2 or 3 minutes solid. And the people were starting to look at me like with these terrible looks of shame and disdain. And then I stopped the illustration and said, that's not really true. I didn't do that, but that's what a lot of you are doing with God's money. Because God has entrusted you with his stuff. And yet sometimes we forget where it came from to begin with. And I wonder how many of you, when I say, okay, God wants you to bring the first 10%, because my expectation is that every follower of Christ, if you're not a Christian, you can sleep through this sermon, because this is for those of us who love Jesus and believe he died for us. So, you know what? Don't sleep through it. Just listen to what you don't have to do yet, and make sure before you become a follower of Christ that you really want in on this. Because to come to Christ is to say, I want to have everything that you can give, but I want to do everything that you say. And so I was talking to somebody one time and they said, 10%, that's just so much. I said, is it? Because I kind of thought the 90 that he let me keep was so much. That's what seems like. You want to flip it? You keep 10, God gets 90? Dude came up to me one time. He said, tithe thing is cool for people who are just getting started, but come on, man. You know how much I make now? My tithe will be 6 figures. So I said, cool. If you don't want to tithe, now that God has blessed you, let's pray that God will stop blessing you and then your tithe won't be 6 figures anymore and you can afford it. Isn't that just like humans? That the more God gives, the more we want to keep. Okay, you want a scripture. There was a man one time in Luke chapter 12. Jesus was just telling a parable. He wasn't a real man, but Jesus used him as an example. And Jesus was teaching this crowd one day, and somebody started asking him about resources. And he was trying to get Jesus involved in a debate that he had with his brother about an inheritance. So Jesus, instead of answering their question, he just redirects the whole conversation, shifts the altitude. He said, read verse 14. Go ahead to verse 14. Jesus replied. He said, "Man, who appointed me as a judge or arbiter between you?" Next verse. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed." I always love that phrase, all kinds of greed, because it means that I might be generous with my money, but stingy with my time. Or I might be generous with my time, stingy with my money, and neither one is going to make me a productive and effective citizen of the kingdom of God. He said, so you got to watch out. Some people spend a lot of money, and some people save it, and some people who save it are just as greedy as those who spend it. I mean, we all have different temptations. But he says something amazing. He says, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. To illustrate, he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. All right, this guy was super blessed. And so he thought to himself, what's the problem? He didn't consider the source. He thought to himself, entitled. Just cut God out altogether. What shall I do? I have no place to store my pomegranates. And he said, this is what I'll do. Got a plan. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones. There I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, self, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Assumption. Because he's assuming that God's going to let him live a lot longer. So I'll take life easy and eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. For the one who becomes entitled. Oh, Jesus wasn't mad at the man because he was rich. God doesn't mind you being blessed. He just wants you to remember and be rich toward the one who blessed you to begin with. Who you think made the grain grow for the man? Who you think gave him the crop? Who do you think brought him into the place where he could have it? But he became entitled. I took all of my kids shopping this week. It was one of those things where Elijah was kind of bummed out about something, and so I took him to spend some money to get his mind off of it. And then since I spent it on Elijah, I spent it on Graham, and then Graham, Abby wanted a little mermaid doll, and so it was just a whole domino effect. And Graham said something that really blessed me when we were coming home. First of all, I took the boys out. Graham wanted a Russell Wilson poster. And so he got a Russell Wilson poster. And because there's not a Steve Smith Baltimore Ravens poster yet. And so we got a Russell Wilson poster. And we came in and he said, thank you for my poster. And I said, you're welcome, buddy. And then he said, actually, thank you for your poster. I said, what? He said, it's really yours. He's six. I said, it's really mine. He said, yeah, you're just going to let me hang it on my wall. Hold on, it gets better. Then he said, actually, it's really your wall. I wish I had recorded that. I'm going to need that in the future. See, when you see it's not really only just God's poster, but it's his wall too. Yes. It changes the way that you live. But we have this problem. We forget where we got it from. So then some preacher gets up and it's like, you can bring 10% of your income because the Bible says so. And you're like, no, preacher, you just want my money. Let me tell you something right now. I don't need your stuff. Long time ago, I decided God was my source. And I'm trying to help some of you who have never made this decision to see that if you would get over to the place where you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, open your hands to God with the first 10%. If you start living as one who is entrusted and say, God, you've entrusted this to me, now I'm entrusting it back. Get your stuff under God's protection. Hang it on God's wall. But one time, and I got to hurry because I got four of these, but one time Moses was preparing God's people to go into the promised land, like how Paul prayed in Ephesians that we would see the spiritual riches that we have. Well, he was getting them ready to occupy a physical land. Up until this time, they had been nomads. They had no place to call their own. And so he's given them some instructions in Deuteronomy 8, and he says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. God's not scared to bless you. God's not scared to help you. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. And when you have eaten, here's the important thing, and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. It's his land. He gave it to you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart may become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness. He did it. Touch somebody, say, he did it. Come on, if you believe God is your source, touch the person next to you. Say, he did it. I didn't get here on my own. I'm not that smart. Through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions, he brought you water out of hard rock. You ever been between a rock and a hard place, but somehow God got you through it? He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end, it might go well with you. Yeah, there were some struggles. There were some ups. There were some downs. But you're still here. That's right. You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. In this verse, verse 18, I used to keep this taped on the inside of my wallet. For about 5 years, I kept it there. Now I just use, you know, wallpaper on my actual phone. But I kept it taped on my wallet because it said, remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Don't forget where you got it from, or you'll become entitled and you'll start thinking it's yours. God doesn't mind blessing you, but don't you forget the blessor. Don't forget him. That's what I love about tithing. It trains my heart to remember I didn't do this by myself. This is a more mindset. Everybody say, there's more where that came from. Come on, where that came from. Where did it come from? You better stay hooked up to him if you want to continue to be blessed. Number two, I'll go quickly on this because it's pretty simple. Do you give out of relationship or reluctance? For God so loved the world that he prayed for him. That he sang about them. That he wrote them a poem called Footprints in the Sand. For God so loved the world that he gave. You remember that first wedding ring I bought you? I bought Holly two wedding rings now. I bought her one when we got married and one at our 10-year anniversary and was happy to buy both of them. was broke when I bought the first one. Took $3,000 out of the ATM. I think I left $20 in it so they wouldn't shut down the account. Went up to this pawn shop. Decided not to buy it there. Went in and said, don't give me a $2,500 ring. I got $3,000. I want to spend all $3,000 of it. What's the biggest one I can get for that? The least yellow one I can get for that. Happy to do it. Because I love her. Amen. Hey, girls, this is going to be a dating seminar for the next 15 seconds. If the dude don't ever give you anything and he says he loves you, be real careful about that. Be real careful. Because love gives. And I'm real skeptical of believers who say that they love God. Or they love their church. Or they love the gospel. But they never give. And if the first impulse in your heart when somebody talks about a need that can be met is reluctance, it shows me that you don't get the gospel yet. Jesus didn't die for you because he had to. It says for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, despising its shame. What was the joy set before Jesus? It was you. And you. And you. And he says, now I want you to give joyfully. You know how when we take the offering, a lot of people clap? Why do we do that? 2 Corinthians 9:7. Check out this verse. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. That's the hand signal for compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a, I can't wait to put this on your finger. I can't wait to give my tithe. Wait a minute, not give it. Bring it. He already gave it. Now I'm returning it back to him out of all. I can't wait. Oh, it said in verse 7. Put it back up. God loves a cheerful giver. I wonder, could it also read, a cheerful giver loves God? A cheerful giver loves God. Relationship or reluctance. It speaks about our heart. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I hope you were encouraged by this message from Consider the Source today. Remember, this is not a time for fear. This is your opportunity to start 2016 in the best possible way.
Yeah, trusting God can be a struggle no matter where you are in your faith. But when you entrust God with everything, from your finances to your career to your family, you allow him to become your one true provider.
Absolutely. I'm asking you to call the number on your screen or go online now to request your best start kit today. I believe this resource, it's going to help you discover who you are at a deeper level and what is available to you as a child of God. I've included a message from Consider the Source on CD and two powerful DVD messages from the series The Power of Same. You're going to learn about how consistency, even in the small things, just day to day, can really shape your faith and impact God's calling on your life. I know you want to go higher. I know you want to see God do more in your life. And so this resource is really going to help elevate your thinking and get some good habits in place. Yeah. Also want to send you this powerful book on finances and generosity. It's called Get to Give.
Yeah,
I love that title. You got to get this book. It reveals 10 promises that God makes to every believer. I know this Your Best Start Kit is going to bless you. And with your give, you bless others to help us get the life-changing message of Jesus Christ out to the world. Holly and I really are grateful that we could share this time with you. And we just want to thank you for giving to this ministry now. It makes a big difference, and we appreciate it.
One of the greatest lessons that I ever learned, and I learned it immediately after committing my life to Christ, I had to decide for myself, would I be a person who brought the tithe. I love to teach people to bring the tithe to God's house because God has made some promises to people who will bring the tithe, to people who will commit in their hearts and say, everything that I have comes from God, and I'm going to take that first portion of everything that he puts in my hands and bring it back to him. Do you see yourself as entrusted or entitled? People who are entitled, they'll do what you tell them to do, but not anything more. They'll never go beyond. But people who are entrusted are a little different. People who see everything that they have as coming from somewhere beyond themselves live a little differently. Do you give out of relationship or reluctance? And if the first impulse in your heart when somebody talks about a need that can be met is reluctance, it shows me that you don't get the gospel yet. Relationship or reluctance, it speaks about our heart. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Number three, obedient or optional. It takes faith to put God first. And that's why when you think about the tithe and bringing the tithe to your local church, by the way, if this is not your church, if you just are visiting here or whatever, take what I'm teaching and do it in your church. Watching online, do this in your church. That's your storehouse where you are fed, where your family is blessed, where your spiritual needs are met, where you're connected. Do it there. But, you know, in the process of deciding whether or not we're going to trust God with the tithe, we've already disobeyed. Because it shouldn't be a decision. I didn't decide not to snort coke before I came out here to preach today. I didn't pray about it. It's just wrong to snort coke before you preach. And other times. All right, I'll hear this message. I'm going to pray about it. What are you praying about? You pray about whether to have an affair? You don't pray about what God just told you to do. I'm praying. You might pray about whether God wants you to do more. But you don't pray about the starting point. A lady stood up the other day in a meeting we were having, and we were talking about giving in the church. She's just a church member here, just an elevator. She's been in the church several years. What she said was so challenging, I really didn't know what to say. She stood up, and she's from Nigeria, and she's a doctor. And she said, no offense, but I need to say something, if I may. She said, and I opened it up for questions and answers, but she heard me say I open up for sermons, because she started preaching to all of us. She said, in America, you've got it all wrong. It's a little different in Nigeria. You guys get up and preach on giving, and it's like, if you want to, if you can, if you should. In Nigeria, she said, and I can't do it like she did it because it had a little something extra on it because she was saying it. But she said, and she's shaking her head and her hip, and she had her hand on it. It was awesome, and it was very, very impressive. And she said, in Nigeria, you weren't asked if you wanted to tithe. You are expected to tithe. She said, and I see all these people come in our churches in America, and it's like they're deciding whether or not they want to do this or not, but you just need to get up and tell the people. And so she said, she went on like this, didn't she, for another 60 seconds or so. And I said, thank you. I needed to hear that. Because, see, in my line of work, you know, you get criticized a lot of times, and you can become a little bit of a wimp. I don't want them to think I'm a sinner. Are you going to preach what God says? Or what people want to hear? You know? And I wanted you to know today that if you're not bringing God the first out of what you have, it's costing you. I can't afford to. You can't afford not to. Y'all are talking a lot to me. I hope you're going to back this up. Because 80% of the people in this church don't tithe. 80%.
That's a good show, man. That's a good word.
Woo! That's the offering. I ain't giving crap. Solomon, the richest man in the world, he had this wisdom to offer us. This is a great piece of wisdom for any endeavor, but I think it applies to giving. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, he says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, King James says, yay, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. That's deep. This is the good part. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Let's stay on that verse for a moment. He said, if you consider your situation too much without considering the source, you'll never be generous. And that's what we got a lot of people doing. Okay, God, if there's one left over, I'll give it to you. Here you go, Mr. Mortgage Broker. You can have 4, 5. In my car, in my bills, got to get my kids in Christian school. Oh, look, Lord, nothing left over for you. We read Deuteronomy chapter 8, but the New Testament equivalent of it is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Listen how strong Paul is. Command those who are rich in this present world. Y'all all thinking about Warren Buffett. But come on now. If we compare ourselves to most of the world, there's not a one of us in here who isn't rich. Dude said to me when we were in the paper a couple months ago, you could have sold that house and given all the money to the poor. I said, well, you could sell yours too. Have you sold yours? You living in the woods, survivor man? Okay, I went there. But we always want that to be somebody else. All those rich people, as I flip to channel 275 on my DirecTV premium package. All those rich people. Those who are rich in this present world, don't be arrogant. See, there's 2 extremes when God blesses you. One is to be ashamed. That doesn't honor God. What, he gave you a good gift as his child and now you're ashamed of it? I bought my daughter a dress and she wouldn't wear it? That honors me as a father? No, God says, don't be ashamed, but don't be arrogant either. This is the key. Nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But to put their hope in the source, who richly provides us with every resource. You got to decide, is the stuff your source or is God? If you make the stuff your source, you're always going to be scared whether there be enough stuff to go around. If you make God your source, you'll always have all the stuff you need. Because he richly provides us with everything, watch this, for our enjoyment. He doesn't mind you taking a bite. He just wants his first. He said, command them. Don't suggest to them. This is not an option. To do good and be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share. Open hands. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And he says, Timothy, guard what has been, there's our word, entrusted to your care. Obedient or optional? How do you see your giving? Obedient or optional? Let's count them out. 1, 2, 3, 4. This represents all the income God has given me. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Made the decision at age 16 and have never gone back. The first fruits belong to the Lord. And I've seen him do some remarkable things in my life. Can anybody testify that God is faithful? He is. Somebody around you might need your testimony that God is faithful. He's faithful. What was our first one? Entrusted or entitled. Second one? Relationship or reluctance. Number three? Or optional. See, that's why I encourage you. As soon as you finish hearing this message, go home, make it happen. Not next month. Go home, make it happen. If you don't trust this church, find one you can trust. Don't put your soul somewhere where you don't trust your money. That's ridiculous. And figure it out, okay? $40,000 a year. $80,000 a year. Some of you blessed beyond that. Some of you maybe don't make that much. 10%. And then set it up. We do it online. It's better. That way I'm not tempted to do anything else with it. We were giving 20% of our income before we came to the church, before I was ever a pastor. And now we've tried to increase it. And God's done great things. You know what I found out about God? I found out that in his kingdom, you can either, this is the fourth one, multiply or maintain. Multiply or maintain, which will it be? God said, test me. If you will, I will. He made you a promise, but there's a process involved. And I'm telling you, it starts with this tithe. It's not a magic trick. I've heard people say it before. Well, if you just tithe, God will. No, you got to order your financial world too. You can't just be running up credit cards and tithe and think God's going to wipe it out of the computer. That's why I want you to go online and see all these budget stuff they put up there and all this free financial coaching. Why? Because we don't want to just tell you to give to the source, but we want to resource you to be able to order your world. And so it's all there, but do it. But do it. Do it. And see if God will multiply. One scripture said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Or here's one. We were in 2 Corinthians 9:7 a minute ago. Go to 2 Corinthians 9:6. He says, he's taken up an offering for the Macedonian church. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. And there's a part about each of you giving in your heart what you decided to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8, and God is able. He's able. Do you believe this or not? It's a matter of trust. It's a test of trust. Do I believe he's able to bless me abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, how much of it does that cover? You will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store. So he says, bring it into my storehouse and I'll make sure your storehouse has everything you need. I'll take care of my own. And will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. This is the best one. You will be enriched in every way, not just with money, but with meaning in your life. God said, I want to bless your marriage. I don't want to just enrich your bank account. I want to enrich your, I want to enrich your relationships. I want to enrich the way you think. I want to enrich you in every way. So that, here's the purpose. Remember he told Abraham, I bless you so that you can be a blessing. You can be generous on every occasion. And then you get to not only where you're giving to your church, but now you see where you can meet other needs. And you can sponsor a child over here. And then Susie needs a set of tires on her car. And you guess what? You can put tires on Susie's car. And you can start having fun with it then. It's really awesome. He said, I'll bless you on every level so that on every occasion you can do what you need to do. Why our God is a multiplying God. I was reading just this week about how in John chapter 6, well, actually it's in all four of the Gospels. It's the only miracle other than the resurrection that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it's a great miracle where Jesus took some bread and multiplied it and fed 5,000 men and women and children. But the crazy thing about it is I was reading it in John 6, which this account gives us some insight. It says Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, and he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Jesus is messing with them. Like he didn't know. Like he needed some practical instructions. Like he needed a name of a store. But he asked this only to test him. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, man, it'd take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. We don't hear him talk much. We hear Peter talk a lot. But he said, well, here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? They're looking at the what? The resource. I can't afford this. Jesus said, well, have the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in that place. And they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. This took a while. And Jesus says, sit them all down. Crowd control. Then he took the loaves, gave thanks, distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He's an unlimited God. And he did the same with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. And they gathered and filled 12 doggy bags with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. And that's always God's purpose, is that people would look at our lives and see what he's done and know who he is. He wants you to know who he is. And I always thought this miracle was great, but until I connected it with John chapter 6, verse 32, I didn't see the full meaning. See, after Jesus had fed all those people and sent them away and shown that he is a multiplying God, the God of all increase, the God of all abundance, the God of all provision, he gives them a little lesson about himself. He said, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven, that's the source, and gives life to the world. Resource. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. You're going to love the next line. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So here it is. They brought the bread to the bread. They brought their limited resource. We don't have much, to the unlimited source. And you know what God will do when you do that? Come here, Huey. You're going to be God for a minute. Just for this illustration. When you and I declare this, stand behind that table. On the authority, he doesn't know anything about what he's about to do. When I bring, this is why I had to have those pomegranates. Because the pomegranate has something inside of it more than most other fruits. He said, I can't do that. I don't know. We're already having a hard time. And you know how much money that is. And God says, bring it to me. I am the bread. And something crazy happens when you bring the first fruits to the one who made the ground that the fruit grew from. Something crazy happened when they brought the bread to the bread of life. When they brought the resource limited to the source unlimited. Watch this. They put it in his hands and I turn it this way. They showed me how to do it this week. And I want you to take that and cut it right down the middle. Because God said, I will open your resource. You see what's inside of this? God said, see, to you, if you keep it, this is all it will ever be. But if you bring it to me, get out of your small thinking and your scarcity mindset and bring it to me. I got some stuff inside. Oh, there's so many seeds in the pomegranate, Huey. Look at all these seeds. Look at all these seeds. Look at all this stuff that God will do if you'll bring him the tithe. He said, I'll bless it and I'll break it and I'll give it and I'll meet needs. And you know what? Out of that tithe will come opportunity. And out of that tithe, I'll feed the poor and the gospel will, I'll scatter those seeds and there's more where that came from. You want some? You want some, Greg? Take it. There's a lot of seed in there. Well, let's recap. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody right now, but not just so you'll clap, but that you'll obey. Right. Clapping ain't going to get you blessed. It's opening those hands. and obey. Recap. Let's review our lesson. Am I living life as one who is entrusted or entitled? Is this about a relationship or reluctance? Obedient, or have I made giving something optional? I told him, I said, don't play any music when I close because I don't want this to be some emotional thing. Am I going to multiply or will I just live my life in maintenance mode? God said, if you bring the tithe, I'll bless it. And there's more. Ooh, let's see what would happen if we flip the order of those four. Oh, yeah. All I did is flip the order of them there. Oh, there it is. There it is. He said there's more. It isn't drawing as smooth as I wanted it to. I think the pomegranate juice is messing up my touchscreen. He said there's more. Oh, you get the point. He said there's more. Where that came from. Now, do me a favor. Touch 10 people again, because now you know what the 10 was for. And tell them, I believe there's more where that came from. Find 10. Say, I believe there's more where that came from. I believe it. God says, make me your source, and I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out so much blessing. Hope you didn't wear a white shirt. Aren't you glad you watch at a video location? That you won't have room enough to receive. Let's take a moment and bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's consider the source. There are many things I could preach about today, but none is more foundational to our heart than trusting God in this area of our lives. Jesus knew it so well. He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Are you bringing God the tithe? Is he calling you to trust him? Will you do it? Immediately. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart for a moment. I believe he wants you to see that he's a trustworthy source. If you'll open your hands to him, he'll fill you with every good thing. Father, I pray that you would give courage, conviction, call your children into obedience. Many are missing out on the blessings you want to give. It doesn't have to be that way any longer. It's our privilege to give to you, our great God who has given so much to us. I hope you were encouraged by this message from Consider the Source today. Remember, this is not a time for fear. This is your opportunity to start 2016 in the best possible way.
Yeah, trusting God can be a struggle no matter where you are in your faith. But when you entrust God with everything, from your finances to your career to your family, you allow him to become your one true provider.
Absolutely. I'm asking you to call the number on your screen or go online now to request your best start kit today. I believe this resource, it's going to help you discover who you are at a deeper level and what is available to you as a child of God. I've included a message from Consider the Source on CD and two powerful DVD messages from the series The Power of Same. You're going to learn about how consistency, even in the small things, just day to day, can really shape your faith and impact God's calling on your life. I know you want to go higher. I know you want to see God do more in your life. And so this resource is really going to help elevate your thinking and get some good habits in place.
Yeah.
Also want to send you this powerful book on finances and generosity. It's called Get to Give.
Yeah,
I love that title. You got to get this book. It reveals 10 promises that God makes to every believer. I know this Your Best Start Kit is going to bless you. And with your give, you'll bless others to help us get the life-changing message of Jesus Christ out to the world. Holly and I really are grateful that we could share this time with you. And we just want to thank you for giving to this ministry now. It makes a big difference, and we appreciate it.
Begin this new year with your best start. In this special kit, Pastor Stephen Furtick defines what godly success really looks like and reveals how to transform who you are and where you've been into the building blocks of discovering God's best for you.
If I've got it, God says, and I'm unlimited, there's nothing you can need that I don't have. And if I've got it, you've got it.
With your gift of any amount, you'll receive the CD message, Don't Forget Where You Come From, and a guide to fruitful giving called Get to Give. It's our way to thank you for your support of Stephen Furtick Ministries today. And with your gift of $80 or more, you'll receive the complete Your Best Start Kit, which includes not only the CD message and giving guide, but also two DVD messages, The Secret of Sustainable Success and This May Take a While. Any amount you give today will help more people receive the life-changing message of the gospel and the promise of a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ. To request your best start, call the number on your screen, go to stephenfurtick.com, or send your request to Stephen Furtick Ministries at P.O. Box 1679, Fort Mill, South Carolina, 29716.